You guys are just 4 days away from our. Time is going by fast, especially if you're going 21 days. By the way, on Tuesday morning, if you are fasting for the 21 days, we'll break your fast with communion. That'll be Tuesday, okay? So if you're going to do that, just please let me know at some point so we know how to set up the communion for Tuesday. And if you're going on, then, you know, obviously we're going to continue on. Okay, Matthew chapter 15. Let's read, okay? Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" And he answered and said to them, "Why do yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been held by has been given to God.' He is not to honor his father or his mother, and thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' And after he called the multitude to him, he said to them, 'Hear and understand, not what enters into the mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man.' Then disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?' And he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. But if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit.' And Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man.' And Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman came out from the region and began to cry out, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is shouting out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish.' And her daughter was healed at once. And departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up to the mountain, he was sitting there. And great multitudes came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, dumb, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled as they saw the dumb speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I feel compassion for the multitude, because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not wish to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.' And the disciples said to him, 'Where would we get so many loaves in a desolate place to satisfy such a great multitude?' And Jesus said to them, 'How many loaves do you have?' And they said, 'Seven and a few small fish.' And he directed the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples. And the disciples then turned to the multitudes, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 7 large baskets full. And those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And sending away the multitudes, he got into the boat and came to the region of Magadan." Amen. Well, here's Jesus at work again, offending the religious leaders of the time. And now, you know, these guys are going to nitpick about Jesus. Remember, you know, we talked a few days ago. Jesus is going to deliberately go out of his way to upset the religious leaders during his day. You know, and the simple fact here that what they're doing is these guys are not washing their hands. You know, cleanliness was a huge part of the Jewish tradition. You know, they thought, and even though, you know, we have that, we heard that phrase, right, cleanliness is next to godliness, that is actually nowhere in the Bible, right? That's just something that someone made up somehow, maybe just to get kids to clean up or guilt them into cleaning up or something. But in the Jewish tradition, there was something about cleanliness, you know, that was a rite of purification that was very necessary for them. And so, you know, simply, you know, I mean, why can't he just tell his disciples, "Hey, why don't you go wash your hands," right? I mean, it's just good proper hygiene, but they don't. You know, and it offends these Pharisees. You know, it's interesting how certain things offend people, you know, while others do not. You know, I remember a long time ago, if you guys ever heard of a speaker named Tony Campolo. Tony Campolo came to our school and he gave a message. And during the message in chapel, he was speaking and he just said something like, "That's just a bunch of shit, man. I just can't believe this, you know, da da da." And everyone got so offended what he said. And he actually did it for a purpose. And he said, "You know what?" Yeah, because he was talking about the poor and the homeless and these things. He says, "You know, most of you are more offended that I use that word in chapel today than you're offended that there's people starving all over the world." You know, and, you know, in other words, he was really poking at our religiosity. You know, and that's kind of the same kind of idea. You know, here's Jesus going around doing good, taking care of people, people that are so even rejected by, you know, by this ruling class, you know, and yet they pick on something like washing your hands before you eat. So stupid. You know what I mean? But, you know, a lot of times we get like that as well, right? You know, we get so nitpicky on certain things that we feel like we've mastered, you know, but the real issues of the heart and issues, you know, dealing with helping others, we kind of lay to the side, you know, but we'll get so offended about our righteousness and these kind of things, you know, and he's really picking at something. And so now it seems like Jesus finally confronts these guys. And before, it was just kind of told his disciples here and there. Now, he goes face to face with these people. And by the way, don't be offended if I said that word. It's actually right in the Bible, right? So that's why I chose it. So we can talk about that another time. And so these guys come and just straight up, and he says, "Look, you know, you guys break the commandment, right? You transgress, you sin against the commandment of God for the sake of your own tradition." And he goes after these guys now. You know, and he says, you know, honor your father and mother, right? Which is one of the commandments that God gave. And now he's dealing with Torah versus Talmud again, right? Torah says honor your father and mother, and then your life will be right with you. Torah or Talmud says do this, all these different things. And they came up with this thing called Korban. And what Korban, and you can read that in Mark, it kind of explains a little bit more. Korban is actually when you give an offering to the Lord, you kind of earmark it for God, and so no one can touch that. You know, no one can use that. And so here you have, you know, people that are, their parents are suffering, but they're not going to honor them because they've dedicated this to God. Now, don't misunderstand this, okay? There's different types of offerings. Okay? Let me just do a little backtrack real quick, just a quick little study. There's what we call a tithe, right? A tithe is 10%. That belongs to God, right? And I would say if you're not tithing, then you're opening the door for all kinds of trouble. Tithing, if I can just make it very simply, because that belongs to God. Actually, it all belongs to God, but especially that 10%, and it's the first 10%, belongs to God. Don't ask me, is it gross or net? I might slap you, okay, and stuff. It's gross, right? Because that's the first 10%, you know, and stuff. If the government gets this, then, you know what I mean? So in any case, I'm not going to slap you. I'll just give you a dirty look. And so, there's, you know, the 10% belongs to the Lord. That's just his, right? That gets you, my inner sister said, that gets you face-to-face with God, right? That just takes care of business. You know what I mean? This is, you know, God's protection, right? This is the bare minimum. Where you receive blessing is from the offering, right? This is above and beyond the tithe, right? The tithe belongs to God. It's not even yours, right? And so you need to just get in that mindset, this is not mine, right? The first 10%, God, it belongs to you, it belongs in God's house, boom, there it is. Where the blessing of the Lord comes in offering, right? And this is all throughout the scriptures. This is when you go above your tithe, you know, and it's a missions offering, love offering, thanksgiving offering. You know, there's so many different types, you know, building fund, you know, these type of things. And this is where God operates in the blessing. When you bring this offering to the storehouse, right, this is when the blessings overflow. And so we're not talking about tithe here, right? So don't think, you know, that belongs to God. And so he's saying, you know, you dedicate this offering, you know, to the Lord, right, Korban, you know, and you neglect your own family. And God says, man, you're messing up there. But see, in the Talmud, the Jewish tradition, there were all these offerings that they had to do. They had to do this one, that one, that one. And the interesting thing about Korban, you know, in my understanding, this Korban is that you actually still hold on to it, you know, but it's dedicated to God, so no one touches it. You know, it could be like you got some gold jewelry, you know, or something like that, and, you know, oh, I could help my parents out. They're in a very bad financial situation, but this is dedicated to God. You know, it's not really that they've given it over. It happens when they die, you know, but they hold on to it. And Jesus says, man, there's something wrong with this. You know, how dare you? And then he straight up says, you guys are hypocrites. You know, you honor me with their lips. This actually is the most, how do I say, the cruelest or the most like in your face thing that you can do against the Lord. And he just comes up and says, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are so far away. All right, these are the same words that Isaiah the prophet spoke of the people when they were in major apathy and fallen away. It says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Right? Doctrine is the precepts of God, not men. Right? And so you come against it. And if you didn't think that the Pharisees understood what they're saying, the disciples came and when he was alone, he says, you know, Jesus, I think the Pharisees were offended at what you said. You know, and so they were like, you know, you want to take back your words? You know, that was like really pretty mean. You know, that was really in their face. You sure you don't want to revise your statement, Jesus? And then Jesus goes on and you think, he said, oh, yeah, maybe I was a little cruel. Yeah, maybe I should change. No, in fact, they're just blind guides and they're going to lead other blind people and they're going to go into the pit. You know, and he goes even worse. There's actually another passage where the disciples say, I don't know, I think you offended them. And he says, you know, they're twice the son of hell. You know, I mean, he really bears into these guys because, see, what they're doing, you know, and it's something that I don't want you to miss. What they're doing is they're creating roadblocks for people to come to the Lord. That's basically what's happening, right? And he will always come face to face, I mean, with you know, fury at people that create roadblocks to him. John the Baptist came to remove those roadblocks. Jesus Christ will come against anyone that brings roadblocks. And that's why when he talks about stumbling blocks, he says, better for you that a millstone, right, be thrown around your neck and you buried into the sea than for you to cause any one of these to stumble. I mean, he's really serious about this. He's really serious about people creating avenues by which people can come to him. And anyone, anytime that we create a roadblock or we put any kind of obstacle or stumbling block in someone's way that they don't see God or have a misrepresentation of God or you know, or something else, he's going to go after that thing. And so we need to be really careful that we're not, you know, misrepresenting him in you know, throughout our life. And so he comes and he just really rails into these guys. And then he says, you know, disciples, Peter says, you know, can you explain this to us? We don't know what it means. And he says, look, anything that goes in your mouth, it comes out the other end, right? No big deal. But it's what comes out, right, out of your mouth. That's what comes from the heart, right? He mentioned that a little before. And then you have this interesting passage of the Syrophoenician woman, right? A little bit misunderstood. You know, he's not calling Gentiles or people dogs, right? You know, I've heard that a few times. It's just a figure of speech. And that's not the description that he's given to these people, you know. And the part of this is this woman, right, had great faith. You know, you want to really learn how to pray, you know. You want to really learn how to contend in these things. Read passages like this woman, right? She's not going to let anything get in the way. You know what I mean? You know, and we've been praying for things, you know, in our mornings, and you guys are praying for certain things. Don't let anything get in your way. You know, and if we look at it, you know, she's, you know, obviously it's her daughter's in a dire situation. You know, she's not going to let a little, you know, incident or a little discouragement get in the way. You know, and in this point, the disciples actually come and say, you know, you be quiet, man. You know, just like leave us alone. And then obviously they can't handle her, so they go to Jesus and say, Jesus, can you get rid of this woman? You know, don't let anything get in the way of what you sense, right, of what you really believe should be yours in Christ. You know, you're really praying for something. Don't let a little discouragement get in the way. You know, maybe, you know, you're having some difficulty in your work and you want a breakthrough in that. You know, don't let your boss who's a knucklehead, you know, and the discouragement, don't let that person get in the way. You know what I mean? And, you know, maybe you want to get married and, you know, and it's just not been happening. Don't let a little rejection here and there get in your way. Right? And this woman, you know, every time she comes and she says, you know, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. She throws herself at the foot of Jesus Christ. You think about this for a second. Who in the world can you actually throw yourself at, right? I mean, if there's any figure throughout history, if you could just throw yourself at and say, have mercy, wouldn't it be the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, who else would it be? I can't think of a single person. You know, maybe my mom, you know, but she's 7,000 miles away. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, who can you throw yourself at? And time again, he will come and lift you up, if not the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and as you're really seeking him, you know, find examples like this. And, you know, and even when she gets, you know, discouraged and rejected, she just comes back for more. You know, and then when that happens, right, at the end, 28, oh woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. Right? you know, was this about her character? Right? Did she say, wow, or did the Lord say, wow, you have great character, or you're a great woman? No, it says your faith is great. You know why we continue to press through when it seems discouraging? Because we have faith in God. We believe that God has ordained this for us. We believe that this is from the Lord. That's faith. It's nothing about, and some people may think, oh, but some people just have that characteristic. You know, their passion or their gung-ho. Has nothing to do about characteristics. Has nothing to do about personality. It has to do with your faith. Either you have faith to believe or you just believe that this is yours in God or you don't. That's what it basically comes down to. Either you believe that your dad should be saved or you don't. And so you quit. Either you have faith, right? So we're not really necessarily talking about perseverance plays a little part, but it's an issue of faith. He says your faith is great. Not your personality, not your perseverance, not anything else. And when you see all throughout, that's what he'll commend. He'll always commend faith. And so when you have faith, you just continue on. When you have faith, you believe the impossible. When you have faith, it doesn't matter what obstacles come your way. You're going to get over it. You're going to push that thing through. Whatever it takes. That's what Jesus commands. That's what he's looking for. The issue that comes along is not personality or characteristics or perseverance. What we really need to sit down and say, God, is this really you? Do you really want this? And I'll tell you, he wants your family to be saved. He wants your friends to be saved. Unless you have the gift of celibacy, he wants you to get married. He wants you to be in a lifelong relationship, partnership, marriage with someone, to walk in intimacy. Does he want you to succeed? Yeah, he wants you to succeed. It doesn't mean it's particularly your job or something, but he desires that in our life, and stuff. And so, we need to sit back and say, okay, you want this thing, and then we press on. It's a faith issue, right? Don't ever, look back and think personality or perseverance, even those play a little bit of part of it. It's a little natural for some people out of their personality, but ultimately, it's about faith. We chase after things because of faith, because we believe that this is what God wants in our life, and we go after it. And so if there's things that you're praying for, you haven't really seen breakthrough in, or these things, go back to the Lord and say, God, is this really you? And then when you really get that conviction, you go for it, man. Don't let any disciple, even any leaders get in your way, and you go like a bulldozer, man, and you just go for it in that way. And then he heals the multitudes. He feeds the thousands, 4,000 at this point, actually a little bit more than that. Just a sign of generosity. By the way, these things just don't happen in the Bible. I used to have, I think I still have the video. I have a video of a mission in it was in Mexico. And they were feeding the native, native Indians there. And it was a truck. And on the video, you can see how God multiplied the truck. They fed thousands of people with a very minuscule amount of food. When I went to Africa years back, one of the missionaries that we know is actually alumni from our school. They actually got kicked out. They were in Mozambique, and they got kicked out of their mission. The government just decided to take over their orphanage, right? And so these guys had about 150 kids, street children that they were caring for in a small kind of like 800 square foot apartment. Can you imagine what that's like? And they got kicked out, and so they're sitting in the apartment trying to figure out what to do next. They lost everything. And a Baptist family comes, a missionary family, and gives them soup, but only brings soup for, the missionaries and the two kids. Right? But they've got, 100 kids in their apartment. What are they going to do? And so they took the food. They thanked them, blessed the food. That bowl of soup fed every single person. Incredible. That kind of stuff happens all the time. We just don't know so much about it so much, right? God still is the God of abundance. God is the God that still overflows, And next time I go to California, I'll try to find that tape and bring it over. It's just a creative miracle. I was trying to look very closely, and I don't know what was happening. Just food just never stopped. It's just amazing. I've heard from my friends many, many different stories, in line to God just overflowing, in people's lives through kind of simple miracles like this, right? So let's close our eyes today. There's a lot to go through here. There's a lot of different things. But in your relationship with God, one, Are we kind of creating stumbling blocks for people? You know, they all come in different ways. You know, we talked a long time as a church, as a leader, you know, not to drink publicly. Could you be making a stumbling block for other people? You know, we talked about a lot of different things. Or have a stumbling block been created for you by someone else? And if that's the case, just remove it. Maybe some of us need an infusion of faith that we press through. Jesus, have mercy on me. Disciples come, hey, shut up, man. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. And just continue to go on. Maybe God wants to infuse our lives with faith. So let's go before the Lord and just whatever passage or the scripture that kind of ministered to you, just speak to Him through it. Let's pray together. Let's pray for ourselves. Huh? Let's pray in 2007 for a dose of wisdom, of revelation. You know, let's pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would come over us. Pray for direction and just real guidance and discernment for this year, that we'd really follow after the Lord and just do what He's called each of us to do. Right, so let's just pray for ourselves. And I just think. Let's pray at church. Let's pray for our married couples at our church. Let's pray that the couples would really grow in love and grow in intimacy with one another, and God would bless these couples with children, lots of children, right? You know, we don't have so many, but, you know, Jimmy and Poyoung and Jeremiah and myself and Lisa, Head-On and June, Sam and Annie, right? Let's really just cover these married couples and pray that God would really minister to them and just really use them, and that God would bring more couples into our church family as well. So let's just cover this these people. Let's pray for the launch of our morning service. Let's pray for new families to come, and God would just bless the new ministries and Sunday school and the youth group, and pray for new people to come, and pray for new servants, people to really serve in this new ministry, and that God would really bless it, and the church would just continue to grow and prosper under His care. So let's pray for the new launch. Let's pray for our members. Let's pray for Jade. Let's pray for her dad to have a receptive heart to the gospel, to have a personal relationship with God, and for God to shed light upon His work. Pray for mom and her sister's faith in the Lord to grow stronger, and the sister to have a good relationship with a challenging colleague. Pray for health for the family members, and pray that she can be a childlike, a single-minded faith in God through daily prayer and the reading of the Scriptures. I pray that she would feel God's love every moment of her life and be filled with joy and become more Christ-like, gentle, caring, wise, patient. Pray for a spouse that she can grow closer to the Lord with and for her to hear clearly what God is telling her regarding the guidance in her future. Also pray that she be an efficient leader at work and give 200% in all that she does. Let's just cover Jade. Father, we just... Let's pray for our sister, Sophia. Let's pray for the salvation of her family who are living in Australia, her parents, her brother, and sister. Sister had accepted Christ a few years back and reads the Bible and sings songs once in a while, but she doesn't go to church regularly nor have any fellowship support from other Christians. So pray for her walk with the Lord that she might have a proper understanding of the Bible and God. She also experienced burnout at the end of last year. Pray that she would recover soon and she will learn to keep a proper Sabbath and really learn from this experience, especially the negative parts of it, to build a stronger foundation in the Lord. She just also says she's pondering three questions. Who am I in Christ? What am I doing here? And where do I go from here? And I pray for God's gentle guidance and courage during this time. Also pray for her calling. She senses it involves youth and Japan. And just even though it's kind of blurry at the moment, please pray for clear direction and also for future spouses. Let's pray for Sophia. Let's pray for Susan. Now let's pray for Brother Paul, that God may provide him direction and discipline and just really keep him out of trouble. I'll pray for her uncle, who's still suffering from cancer, to really keep his faith unwavering and help him through his chemotherapy treatment. God's really ministered to this guy over and over again. And so just really continue to pray that God continue to push us through on this. I'll pray for her sister, Joanna, that God may reaffirm her confidence and find her a suitable partner. And pray for her parents, that they may continue to provide for them in their health and their finances. And pray for her career, that God may continue to provide clarity, confidence, and challenge. And that God may help her to be content and thankful. And so let's just cover Susan. Father, we just thank you so much, God, for your faithfulness, God, and your goodness over our life. And Lord, help us every day, Father God, to continue to remove obstacles that are in our way and to remove obstacles that are in the way of others around us, Lord. And help us, God, to not to be a stumbling block, Lord, but to really be a trailblazer, God, and just even in our lives, God, just release the forerunner spirit in our life, God, that we may make the way for the Lord. Just watch over us today, God. We thank you so much, God. And we ask to continually guide us and lead us today. Lord, we bind our will to your will today, God. We ask you to use us. We thank you. We bless you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.